Then take your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter number 23. Joshua chapter number 23. Brother Mark, would you come and change the batteries out on this for me? It just showed up red. Joshua chapter number 23 in your Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter number 23 in your Bibles this morning. Appreciate that song, and boy, I feel powerful this morning. But that's nice and loud. But my mind goes back to Bible college when I hear that song. I worked at a church in North Carolina, and of course, North Carolina is where I was at. I was in Siler City. If you know where Siler City is at, then you have too much time on your hand. Thank you so much. But Siler, I mean, you talk about Hickville. I mean, it was in the middle of nowhere, and the church really all they had. That's all they sang. I'm on the winning side, and every service they opened it up with that song, and I got to the place where I absolutely despise that song. But I like it now, okay? That's why Chrissy, she said, can we sing that? I said, absolutely. I'm finally over it. It's been 12 years. So it took me a long time, though. But I appreciate that, Miss Danielle. Thank you, Chrissy, wherever you disappeared to. And I'm on the winning side. Amen for that. Joshua chapter number 23 in your Bibles this morning. And notice there in verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. The Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Verse number 12, it says, else if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. This morning I want to ask you this question. Really, from this text, we see this word twice used. It's the word cleave, to cleave to. I wonder this morning, who are you cleaving to? Who are you clinging to? Who are you, what are you desiring? Which way are you spiritually going? Joshua put forth the charge. He said, you've got to cleave to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive into this message. Father, I pray you'd use me this morning as I preach. Lord, I sense kind of a tiredness amongst your people this morning. I don't know really what's going on. Don't know the burdens that we have. Lord, I really don't know what's going on, but I pray that right now on purpose that we would set aside the distractions of the day. Lord, maybe there's been problems at home, maybe at work, whatever it may be, Father, may we set that aside. And I pray right now that we would hear from heaven. Lord, may we respond to your preaching. Father, I need your help as I open your word. I pray for those that are right with you right now, Lord, that they would uplift me in prayer as I try to preach your message this morning. I need your help desperately, Father. Would you fill me? God, would you use me? Move in this service. If there's one that's not saved, Holy Ghost of God, draw them to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter number 23, the Bible says in verse number 1 that Joshua was old and well stricken in age. I don't know about you, but I've seen some old people.
And I think about that good old gospel song, "Do Your Ears Hang Low? Do They Wiggle To and Fro?" You know that song, you know, talk about old, you know, old long ears, right? But somebody told me that your ears keep on growing, or your nose, one of those, keeps on growing. And that's why when you get older, you got bigger noses and you got bigger ears. I guess that's, don't get mad at me, that's just what I heard, all right? But you know, I think about Joshua. Man, can't you see Joshua now? He's an old man. He's won the battles. He's fought the war. Man, he's seen God do some wonderful things. He went from being a slave in Egypt to crossing through the Red Sea to wandering for 40 years in the wilderness as one of the spies. He went and viewed the promised land. And yet Joshua stayed true to the Savior. And now God has given Israel victory in the promised land. God has allowed them to experience his blessing upon them as a people. And Joshua has come to the end of his earthly ministry. And so what does Joshua do in Joshua chapter 23 and Joshua 24? Joshua breaks it up and he calls, first of all, in chapter 23, for the elders, for the leaders of Israel to come and gather and hear him. In Joshua chapter number 24, we'll dive into that next week. Joshua calls for the nation. And he gives his final farewell address to the nation. But here in chapter number 23, Joshua is addressing those that would have surrounded themselves with him in his earthly ministry. He's addressing judges. He's addressing mayors. He's addressing governors. He's addressing senators and the congressmen. He's addressing all these different individuals. And he's giving them a charge as a leader to other leaders. I find it fascinating that Joshua was impacting those that were the future leaders and those that were the leaders of the day. You know, the reality is if you want to be successful in life as a whole, you got to make sure you're surrounding yourselves with other people that are on the same page. That's why it's important to surround yourselves with other godly men and other godly ladies that will help you to grow and to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in your personal walk. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And as a believer, I need to make sure that my influences are those that are giving me biblical counsel and biblical advice and encouraging me to walk with God, to pray, to seek the Savior's face. And so Joshua is influencing these guys. He's helping them to go on in their walk with God. And so what's this dear saint of God preaching? What's his final encouragement to these older men? He is encouraging them to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about Warren Buffett. Many of you know who Warren Buffett is. He's a he's a billionaire. I mean, just a wealthy man, is in charge of the Berkshire Financial Division and just has made some really shrewd business moves that have just vaunted him to be a tremendous leader when it comes to financing here in the United States of America. Well, every year, Warren Buffett will auction off a lunch with Warren Buffett. And he'll put it on, I think it's on eBay is where he puts it. And the winner of the auction gets to go out to eat with Warren Buffett with five or six other individuals. They get to go and they get to spend 2 or 3 hours with Warren Buffett. And I looked online and back in July, the auction took place. And if you wanted to have dinner with Warren Buffett, a multi-billionaire, you had to pay $3,456,789 to eat with him. But you know what I've read from those guys and individuals that have eaten with Warren Buffett? They say the 2 or 3 hours with Warren Buffett pays dividends years down the road. And all the people that have eaten with them have said the money they invested has come back in a greater way from spending time with Warren Buffett. Why? Because Warren Buffett is a great man when it comes to business. He's a great man when it comes to understanding how to invest and how to save your money. And these leaders that want that influence are willing to pay the exorbitant price to have lunch with Warren Buffett. You know, the reality is as we go on in our walk with God, we better make sure that we're sitting not in the seat of the scornful, but we're sitting under the blessings of God and responding to biblical counsel to be like we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what was Joshua saying here to the people? He said in verse number 8, he said, make sure you cleave unto the Lord your God. Verse number 12, he says, else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of the nations. He gives them pros and cons. He says, all right, either you can go on for God and cleave to God, or you can cleave to the things that will drag you down and destroy you spiritually. I wonder this morning, what are you cleaving to? What are you clinging to? I think about that word cleave. It's I think about a cleaver for a knife. I don't know if we have any chefs here this morning, but my brother Tim was worked at the Bill Rice Ranch. He was their cook for quite some time, and I went into his kitchen, and man, he had all these fancy knives up there, you know, and he had the delicate knife for cutting, you know, fish, and he had the cleaver knife, you know. Let me say a cleaver, you know, one of those big knives. It's not a fancy cut. If you want your steak to look nice and smooth around, or your fish to be dressed real pretty, you don't go grab a cleaver, man. You don't go grab a sword to cut it. What do? You get a fancy, smooth knife to take care of business. What's the job of a cleaver? It's to take that big old piece of meat, and then you take that thing and whack it, man, and you chop that piece of meat in half. And it's not a pretty cut, but it's used to separate bones. It's used to separate meat from each other. Hey, God looks at you and God looks at me and says, listen, if you're going to be what you ought to be for Christ, there needs to be a cleaving to Jesus, and there needs to be a cleaving, a separating from the world. And so what did he say here? Notice first of all here in verse number 12. Let's look at the negatives, and then we'll look at the